Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Great to have you company this Wednesday afternoon. Well, I hope that sun is shining where you are. As you say, we've been through our shortest day. We're now back on the uphill rise to summer. Can I dare say that? Of course I can. But for you, take 25, put your feet up, pour yourself a cuppa and join the conversation. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM. There's an oldie but a goodie. I can't even think who it is. Oh, my brain's a little bit dead again today. Now, I just saw you hobbling in the door, Irene. What's going on? You were in the cast not so long ago. Has that not worked?
No, that's fine. That was a broken foot. I broke my foot in three places, falling over, because I have a problem with my knee. I've had a problem with my knee for 3 or 4 years.
I thought you were going to say because you were drunk.
Not this time. No, not this time. I haven't got that excuse. No, I've got no cartilage, arthritis, that sort of thing, you know, at my age. But I've got no cartilage between my kneecap and my knee bone. So it's just bone on bone, and it's really painful.
Or is that like a hip? When we have hip replacements where there's nothing in the hip.
I know. But this is really exciting because this is a fairly new operation that I am going to be having in about 2 weeks' time. I got so excited. They just suddenly, a week ago, sent me out a letter saying, right, we've booked you in and your operation will be in 2 weeks' time, which is really cool. But they are just giving me a kneecap, not a full knee. So instead of being weeks and weeks out of action with a new knee trying to sort itself, I have just got a kneecap to solve and it'll only be a couple of days out of action.
Wow, so they're just going to flip that out and pop you in a new one and put some stuff in between?
Something like that. I'm not quite sure. There's some metal involved somewhere. Metal's going in, so I have to remember that I've got metal in my knee if I ever go through anything and I set the buzzers off and things like that. So apparently I have to be able to do that. But the interesting part is it's all going through the public health system, which I think is absolutely amazing. We get so much criticism of it. But really, it's the people who are putting the pressure on the system and not using the system the way they should be using it, which is why it's falling over. It's just got too much pressure on it. But anyway, I think the system is amazing. It works brilliant. But this kneecap operation is really quite new, you see. So a lot of the staff in there don't really know much about it and they keep saying things to me and they're going, well, I'm not really sure. And I go, how long am I going to be? You know, how long is the operation? I'm not really sure. I know how long a knee takes, but it's really cool. So I'm going, yay, I'm going to be right at the forefront of all the stuff going on. And so they, you know, you go from one person to another. They're constantly, constantly, constantly checking every part of you to make sure that you're able to take the anaesthetic and there's going to be no complications and da-da-da. And you know, it's so much work is involved with that constant, continuous checking and checking and checking. And I say, why can't people take more responsibility for themselves? And they said, well, the thing is they don't, so we have to do this. We have to do this every time you come in because they won't tell us when something's different. And, you know, so there's a lot of things going on like that. And even right up to your skin has to be perfect. They will not cut. Because nowadays the antibiotics do not work if there is any infection. So nowadays they're not going to cut. If there's the slightest look of any infection on your skin's dirty, it's roughed up, it's chafing. If there is anything that causes them any doubt that your skin's going to heal, they cancel the operation.
Yeah, I think my mum just actually went through a hip operation and she was probably quite lucky because she got, for some reason, she got blistering on her legs and I'm not sure whether it was from some of the medication she was taking. Anyway, whatever it was, they didn't pop, but it just looked a bit thingy. And they monitored that up to that whole time very, very carefully as well. But I do remember, and I wonder whether you'll get it, she had this, like an iodine antibiotic wash thing that she had to wash for 2 days before
it's
the operation.
Sponge they've given me, you know?
Yeah.
And I have to keep using the sponge all the time. And they said, you know, don't use sun cream. I'll come back to you on that one. And don't use this and don't use that. So they didn't want any chemicals on the body whatsoever. And of course, you know me, I use pure argan oil and that's it. Nothing else touches my body from one top of my head to the bottom of my toes. And so I've got nothing to worry about. And I have to keep using the sponge all the time beforehand to make sure it's perfectly clean. And that's all good. That's not a problem. But I am so excited because they also give you this little booklet about the anaesthetics and the different types that are available and there's about 6 or 7 different options of how you can be anaesthetized and you get to have a say
yes
in that.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. I remember that because, again, with Mum going through that process, I did go with her for the appointments, and even on that morning before they wheeled her into the room, and again they checked in, they explained both of them and which one would she like. She had two. She could stay, she could go under, totally under, or just have... What's the other one? General, or the one that you're still half awake?
Oh, there's about six different things.
Yeah. Well, she had two, obviously, and they're probably taken to account who you are. And, yeah, no, it was interesting. It was, the other one was like, I liken it to an epidural, but it's not an epidural, but very similar. So just the bottom half is like totally paralysed. But, yeah, you're not. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. That, because I was surprised, too, that she had a choice to which one she wanted.
Yeah, well, I mean, the anaesthetist, I never get that word
out of my tongue properly.
The anaesthetist, we'll discuss it with you. But see, when I had my ear operations, which is working in this very tiny space and doing my micro surgery, they didn't put me out at all. I could actually feel the blood dripping down my neck, and it was like he was working in this, it was like he was sawing a tree,
wow.
You know, and chopping at a tree and trimming branches off a tree. I mean, it was the feeling that I could get with this guy working in this tiny, tiny, tiny little space.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. And of course, I'm under it enough that I can't actually feel any pain, and of course it's because I'm off with the fairies that I'm thinking I've got this lumberjack chopping on a tree inside my head, and I've got a nurse beside me all the time keeping me awake because I have to know when he's got the parts in the right place. But I didn't feel a thing.
Interesting.
Absolutely not a thing. And it was so amazing to be awake while the whole operation is happening. Yeah, I just loved it.
That was something that the anaesthetist said to Mum about, the one where it, I'm going to call it an epidural for the sake of, because I don't know the right word. And of course, you're not all there, so it's not like half your body's numb and then you're wide awake on top. But he did say to her, one of the side effects from that is that you might hear the soaring and everything else. So you might hear those things. Your mind will pick up on it, even though you're not kind of there. And I thought, gosh, isn't that interesting? You'd be kind of laying there hearing this stuff going on. But I think your mind pretty well forgets quickly enough as well, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but I still remember this guy chopping away this tree trunk in my ear, and that was years ago. And I mean, I just loved that. That was awesome.
So what are you leaning to? Full out?
Well, I'm not sure. I need to talk it over with them, but there was one there that said that it is just given locally so that you're still awake, but you're a bit fuzzy and off as a planet. And... but it's just locally so that you actually come out of it a lot quicker, and you're able to use your leg a lot quicker, and you're able to get motivated. And of course, me, that looked like my cup of tea. And it also looked like, even though I'm groggy, I'm awake, so I might see them actually doing some of it.
Yeah.
I doubt it, but I'll ask and see if I can, because that would be quite cool.
Yeah.
Even if I'm seeing it up on a TV or something, it'd be really, really cool.
I wonder how, because I can't imagine they'd have to cut too much, because they'd just be able to slip it out between, although they have to get the whole kneecap out, don't they, and put the new one in.
No, apparently it's not terribly big cut. It's just a cut that's about 3 inches. What's that in centimetres for all our young ones out there?
They can figure it out.
It's about 3 inches, and it's just a straight down cut, because the skin's so elasticy, they're able to just peel
great,
it off and
it?
Get in there.
Yeah. That's exciting.
I know.
Then so a little bit of physio afterwards, maybe not.
Yeah, there'll probably be physio. Oh, I would think there'd be physio for quite some time afterwards, because the whole kneecap then has to get all the muscles working and everything around it. And so, no, I'd think there'd be quite a lot of kneecaps. And, of course, I live upstairs in a house, so I'm going to be getting physio every day. I've got a girlfriend coming and staying with me. She's young and fit, so she may have to carry me up the stairs to get me home. I don't know how she's going to manage 80 kg, but it's
all
right.
How many stairs have you got?
Two flights. There's quite a lot of them, yeah.
And are they allowing you? Do they know that?
Well, this is the thing. I'm going to have to ring one of the other ladies up and get her to find out the information for me, because I just had another appointment yesterday and I kept saying, so how long does the operation take? I don't know. How long am I going to be in hospital? I don't know. I can tell you how long for a full knee. You know, so I kept asking all these questions and getting no answers. So how long before I'm allowed to walk up my stairs to get to my house?
There's a question way down the line.
And, yeah, I got no answers at all to any of that. So it'll happen.
Yeah.
I'll work it out. I mean, I can always go and stay with another girlfriend who's on ground level and then go home a couple of days later. So, but I prefer to go home.
Oh, and I think we all do. I think we all kind of want to go home, don't we? We're just kind of recuperating our own little space.
Hmm.
Hey, let's take a break. We'll have a bit of music and we'll be back with you shortly.
When the truth is found to be
tell you one thing that I am worried about with this hospital operation, though. It's really, really, really important that I am very careful on my diet before I go in.
You're always careful on your diet, though.
I know, but see, I eat a lot of protein. I eat a lot of quinoa and chia seeds and things like that. And just lately, I've been overdoing it a little bit, and honestly, I couldn't even have the aircon on in my car because I have to wind the window down at the moment. It's just, I don't know whether people realise, but protein is particularly good at reproducing very sneaky, horrible smells.
Oh, one of those
human
silent
body.
But violent ones.
Mm. And I'm not sure that they're that silent either. So can you imagine me going into hospital? So I'm making sure that I'm not eating anything protein before I go in. I'll have a starchy.
Funny.
It
and
is.
Then you'll have to have that horrible, well, I shouldn't say it. Well, yeah, actually, I think it is their horrible hospital food as well. I'm sure someone will be, you'll have yours tucked away in your suitcase, won't you? few extra dinners there.
Look, I honestly think their food is a lot better than what it used to be. They have to cover so many different diets, and I think we're too hard on them. How on earth can we create a restaurant atmosphere in a hospital?
Oh, look, I've seen some of that food when Mum was in there.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I think probably one out of the whole week looked okay.
Really?
It just didn't look it. It might have tasted okay, but it looked disgustingly awful.
Okay, well, yeah. I'll let you know when I come out. Many, many, many years ago, way back when I used to manage the university and had chefs all over the place and training chefs and doing all sorts of things, I also did a consultancy thing for the hospital up in Whangarei, I think it was. Oh, no, that was down in Hamilton. And I went through their menus and advised them on diet, and then I advised them how to cook them, and then I advised them how to present it so that it looked a lot nicer on the plate. Remembering that they've got to dish up something like, you know, hundreds of meals in the matter of a few minutes and get it out to the patients hot and so on and so forth. So there's an awful lot involved in trying to get this food
looking nice
and to the patient. But I thought we were doing a pretty good job back in those days, so I'd be very surprised that they'd gone too far backwards. I would hope they haven't.
I think a lot of it's bulk now, isn't it? And maybe that's our problem. It's just all bulk, and I think with a new contract not so long ago, and it just gets delivered in plastic, you know, bags, and
they don't cook it on the premises anymore?
Some of them don't anymore, and some of it is. So, you know, you think if you had like a little kitchen for every ward, it would be fantastic, wouldn't it? And why can't we do that? You know, people's jobs, things, everything.
It's too costly. It's way too costly. It's way too costly to do that. I mean, what they did in the old days was they had this massive, massive, huge kitchen. I mean, just making the porridge, it was a huge cooking bowl that was as big as this table is, which is what?
Pretty
about a 6-foot table.
Yeah.
And these, they're just huge. And the wooden spoons that you use in them are like great big paddles that
you can row a boat with.
And you had to be really strong to be able to stir the porridge and cook it in this.
Yeah.
I mean, massive, massive things. But you cooked enough porridge in there to feed 500 people in one hit. So
exactly.
That's in one bowl.
Yeah.
So.
And I think we probably could do better, but I think as food gets more bulk and budgets are slashed, something has to give, doesn't it? But it will be interesting to see. You're right, because it should be nutritious as you are getting better. So we will have a report in a few weeks after you've been in hospital to know all about that lovely hospital food. Well, that's it. That's all we've got time for. So you'll be back next week, but it'll be the week after. Or so. Anyway, we'll figure that out. I'm sure when you're in hospital, we'll come and visit you. Ahem, we might even do a show from there.
Hey, why not?
We'll see you guys the same time, same place next week. And if you've had any of those operations and you've experienced that lovely hospital food, let us know all about it on our Facebook page.
Sugars, brought to you by Delacroix Communication, delacroix.co.nz.